I know this is a very busy time for family. Many families getting together, having special dinners and activities in the afternoon on Resurrection Day. And I thank you for making time to come out and fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with each other and celebrate what He did for us on this day. We could never thank Him enough, can we?
Not enough.
But we will one day cast those crowns that we receive back to His feet in praise of what He did for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to welcome all of you to Faith Community Church today. I'm so happy that you're here to celebrate with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so very thankful for Your great plan of redemption. We know, Lord, that through Adam we are all guilty of sin. Even though we don't have to do a thing to inherit that sin nature, it's because of Him that we are under that curse of death. We're already condemned, and we don't have to do a thing. But we are also so thankful for what You did through Your Son, Jesus Christ, sending Him through a virgin to be sinless, to be that sinless sacrifice that takes away our sin. You even say in Your Word, there was no sin in Him. He was worthy to be that sacrifice for us. And that's why we praise You, Lord Jesus. You lived Your life sinlessly so that You could take away our sin when You gave Your life, gave Your body, gave Your blood there on Calvary, and redeemed us back from that curse that we inherited. We give You praise and glory. My prayer today, Lord, is that we understand more fully what You did and that we can praise You and love You and serve You even more in that knowledge. Be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can turn to the Gospel of John. It's just after the book of Luke, I believe. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yes. That's near the front of the New Testament. Go to chapter 20, and we're going to start in chapter 20 at verse 1. Here's the setting. Realize that Jesus and His disciples have already celebrated the evening before, He was crucified and then taken. They've celebrated the Last Supper. Jesus has gone through all of the trials. He's gone through all of the beatings. He's taken His cross up to Calvary. He's been crucified on the cross from early morning until about 3 in the afternoon. Then He was taken down because the Jewish culture was they didn't want anyone on the cross. They didn't want a Jew up there on the cross during the celebration of their Sabbath and Passover. So they took Jesus down. They didn't have to break His legs, which they normally would do if a person did not die already from the crucifixion. If they were still alive, they would break their legs so that they couldn't get a breath any longer, and then they would suffocate and die sooner. But they didn't have to do that to Jesus. They determined that He was already gone. He had already passed away. And to prove it, they stabbed Him in the side with a spear just to make sure. And indeed, He had already given up His ghost. And it's important that we realize He gave up His ghost. It wasn't taken from Him. He literally gave it for us. Gave His life. Gave His spirit so that we could benefit from that. And we're going to pick up this story. It's now been Friday, Saturday. It's early Sunday morning. Sometime after sundown on Saturday night, it became Sunday. And sometime during that period, Jesus rose back from the dead and came out of the tomb. And early that morning, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And that's where our story is going to begin this morning. Starting with chapter 20, verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief that had been around the head of the Lord Jesus, not lying with the linen cloths laying to the side, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Amen. Amen. There you have the resurrection. Jesus rose from the grave. Mary came and discovered it, told the disciples. They checked it all out. And before the day was over, they were all knowing that Jesus had come back to life. Hallelujah. Now, when Mary and the others went to the tomb, as incredible as this might seem, they went that day. They didn't think they would find a risen Jesus. No, they thought he was still dead. Why? They weren't operating on their faith. They had heard, but not truly believed that it was going to happen. There are some things in the Christian belief that you must believe. You must believe them and hang on to that belief no matter what. No matter what anyone says or does, no matter who comes against you, you must hang on to these essential beliefs. Saving faith requires believers to have full trust and faith in God, starting with His Word. Yes, this right here, God's Word. If in fact a person cannot accept everything in the Bible and that what it says is true, then how can they accept anything that the Bible says is true? You must believe not only that it's God's Word, but that it is all true and accurate. Amen. Amen. No doubting it. No doubting it. The Bible says this is what we need. Anyone who does not have that kind of faith in God's Word will be constantly drifting on the sea of doubt, wondering, is it true? Is it true? They'll be drifting like a ship without a rudder. They'll need that faith that Jesus Christ is going to give. How will they ever be able to establish faith in God if they do not trust God's Word? Will they be willing just to believe what we say? Will they take us for telling the truth? Will they believe that we have nothing to gain by their accepting Christ? Or will they mistrust us? You see, God's word is what we need to trust. Amen. Always. The Bible itself claims to be God's word.
It is.
Speaks for itself. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the things you should believe, for reproof, for when you get off track to get you going again, for correction when you're wrong to get you right, and for instruction to know how you should relate in righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father. It's profitable for all those things. The word inspiration used in that verse means breathed out by God. God's word is breathed out by God, given by the Holy Spirit. It is, Curtis, in fact, alive. In other words, Scripture comes out of God. That's why we can trust it. It comes directly out of God. And so we can put our faith and believe in it. And that is what we must do. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 21, we are told, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Prophecy spoken by the holy men of God in the Old Testament and anyone speaking in the New Testament can be trusted that it came from God. You know the test of a true prophet? If what they say happens. If what they say doesn't happen, you can say goodbye to them. They're not a prophet. But if it comes to be, then you can say, yes, they are a prophet. And they're, in this case, a prophet of God. Everything spoken, every prophecy spoken in the Old Testament has been coming true in the New Testament.
Amen.
There are a few yet to happen that haven't happened yet. But we can trust that they will happen because all the others have come to pass.
Amen.
And so we are given that evidence that we can put our full faith and trust in the Word of God. Yes, here we have God, the Holy Spirit, moving holy men to record as God intended the Word of God. They wrote down what the Holy Spirit had them write. It wasn't just their thoughts. It wasn't what they wanted to put down. No, it was what God wanted to put down. That is why it makes sense. It makes sense when you read the Word of God. If you read something in the New Testament and it doesn't make sense, you can search the Scriptures and it will be made clear to you. God's Word will clarify itself if you'll give it the time and the attention that it needs. Amen? You see, we have a part to play, don't we? We don't just get saved and sit back and do nothing from then on. No, we have a part to play. We need to learn these Scriptures so we can use it to go out and witness and give testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ has come. God's Word is true. There is salvation to be had. There is a place to go that you will enjoy eternally as you're there with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God. That's why it makes sense, because God wrote it.
That's right.
And it agrees with itself throughout. If you can find a place where it does not agree with itself, let me know. Because there are scholars who have spent their life trying to find that. Why would they do that? Because they don't want to be under the authority of God. They want to do their own thing. They have their own human will. They want to do that. That's why many people resist the call of God. When He calls them, the Holy Spirit's calling people to salvation, many resist because they want to do what they want to do, not what God wants them to do. So the Bible makes sense. It agrees with itself throughout. And it doesn't have errors in it. There are no errors in the Scripture. No one's ever proven that. And they never will, because there are none. It was written by God. You can trust His holy word. You must trust His holy word if you're going to experience that abundant life that Jesus spoke of. Don't let anything separate you from the abundant life. So all of those things are even all the more reason to have faith that we have the Word of God and that it is true. Amen? Yes, it is. Put your faith and trust in it. Because God's Word, the Bible, gives words of prophecy down to the most minute detail and time frame. It is proven to come from God. It doesn't just say this is going to happen. No, it gives you times, dates, details, who's going to be there, what's going to happen. And you can see that God has given it because God is not bound by time. He operates outside of time. He knows the end from the beginning because He's... Now try to wrap your brain around this. He's at the end. It's all in Him. We can't understand that. We have human limitations. So we trust God, and we can trust Him because of what His Word says. The integrity of its human authors, the fact that they were willing to die rather than recant what they had written. No, I won't take it back. This is the truth. God gave it to me, and you need to believe it. Sorry, we don't. Take them out. Do away with them. And they did. Every one of the apostles was martyred except John. No, they weren't suicidal. They lived for God, they lived for the Lord, and they died for the Lord. They paid a high price for their faith. But that's just another testimony to us that it's true. It's true. Other disciplines of study, such as archaeology and history, have proven God's Word is not only true, but accurate. Accurate, down to the minutest detail. For many years, there was a culture, a civilization that existed in the Middle East. And archaeologists couldn't prove it. They said, well, some these books write about it and all, but we haven't found any evidence of their existence. And then one day it happened. They not only found just a small little bit of evidence, they found an entire library of writings from that culture, dug it up, translated it, and proved that, yes, that culture was there. God's Word had told them it was there. Amen. And then they proved it by digging it up. And that's the value of some of these disciplines. God's Word doesn't fear being investigated. It wants to be investigated because it proves that it's true. Yes. Everything it says is true, and you can trust in it and have faith in it. Amen? As God's Word says of itself, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can trust God's Word. You can believe God's Word. You can stake your life on God's Word. And then when you leave this life, this earth, then you'll go on to the perfect life, right? Yes, you will. So, the first thing you need to realize as a believer is that you need to trust all of God's Word with all your heart. Along with fully believing and trusting God's Word, we must have full belief and trust in the work of Jesus Christ. What He did on the cross in that one 24-hour period, it didn't just save us. It saved humanity from Adam to whoever the last person's going to be. We don't even know. His shed blood, His body that He gave was sufficient for every single person that ever comes into this world to have salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. Why do we need salvation? As I said earlier, we're all sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We're sinners because we were born into sin because of what Adam did. We don't have a choice about it. We need a Savior because of our very human nature. And the Scripture says, you're already condemned. You were born under condemnation. You didn't have to do a single thing. You don't have to do a single thing to be saved. Trust Jesus. Oh, you say, well, I'm doing that. No, the Holy Spirit is calling you to that. The Holy Spirit is trying to love you into trusting Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. And He's working on every single person on this earth, saying, give your heart to Jesus. Oh, you and I both know there's some hard ones out there. And yes, it's true, there are some who will never give up their way for His way. But He doesn't stop trying. He's a God who loves, and that love won't let Him stop trying. Believe everything about Jesus that's in God's Word. You see, that's the qualification. You can't just believe everything. You have to believe what God says about Jesus.
Amen.
That's where the truth is. Believe everything God says about Jesus. Believe everything about His entire existence. Not just while He was here on earth. He existed before He ever came here. He is God. He is eternal. He was here before, and He'll be with us at the end and forevermore after that. Amen? You see, not just Christ's life on earth. Believe in that. Believe what He did. Believe how He came. But you must also include His existence as God prior to becoming human. You must believe all the Bible says from start to finish about Jesus.
The truth will set you
free. Amen, brother. Remember to trust everything about Jesus that the Bible says. Believe that Jesus existed in eternity with God the Father and Holy Spirit prior to creation. 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2 says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we see it, and bear witness, and declare to you. Now here's where it really gets good, because all that I've just said is about Him being here. He came, right? But here's where the good part comes in. He was manifested to you that eternal life, which was with the Father. It's not the Father, it's Jesus Christ they're talking about. He was with the Father in eternity. It's His eternal life that He's imparting to us. And He was manifested to us. He was shown to us. He was given to us. Why?
Amen.
So we could trust Him and be saved, redeemed by Him, and be with Him for eternity. That's what He wants. God Himself said, if it were up to me, I would that all would be saved.
Amen.
Yes. Amen and amen. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 16b through 17 says, all things were created through Him and for Him, talking about Jesus, and He, Jesus, is before all things. He is before creation, before all things. And in Him, all things consist. All things consist. You know, they've been able to ascertain through science and electron microscopes that the physical makeup of materials that we see and touch, right? when they get down to the very smallest part, I can't even think of what they're called, they're shaped like a cross.
Wow.
They're shaped like a cross. And they're interlocking, holding things together. So when this scripture says all things consist through Him, it means they're being held together by Him. Do you know how this world is going to finally be destroyed? God's going to simply let go. He's going to release all those interlocking parts, and they're just going to go apart. And this world, this earth will disappear. Don't worry. He's going to give you a new one. He's going to give you a brand new one to live on. Amen? That's right. All things were created through Him and for Him and before, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's what the Bible says. He is God. Believe Jesus Christ existed as God before creation. The Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word," speaking about Christ, "the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Amen.
Jesus is God, without a doubt. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Life is in Jesus Christ. You ever think about that when you hear the saying, He is the way, the truth, and the life? Life is in Him, only in Him. He created it. He gave it. Without Him, there is no life. Now skip down to verse 14 in that same chapter. Gospel of John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh." That's Jesus. The Word became flesh. God's Word, God became flesh and dwelt among us. We have the record of it right here in the Bible that we're supposed to believe and put our full trust and faith in. It tells us the story of the life of Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Did you see God's glory? No, you didn't. But the Scripture says, blessed are those who will have faith even though they didn't see it. But how did you know about it? Here it is. This is why you believe God's Word. It tells you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you about who He is, what He did. Is He coming back? It tells you that just as well. You need to put your faith in God's Word and then put your faith, all of it, without any doubt, in Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Without Him, you have no hope. You have no hope. Believe in His first coming as the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. He came for our redemption. He bought us back from the curse of Adam. We're under that curse until we say to Jesus, "Jesus, save me." Then you are out from under the curse. Then you have a life to look forward to. Then you have eternity to look forward to. Then you can look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Isn't that going to be an awesome thing? Wow. You know, there's a song about that, right? I don't know what I'll do when I'm standing there in front of Jesus. Can't even imagine it. I think that's the name of the song. Can you imagine? Yes, amen. So believe that He is the sinless Lamb of God that was given for our salvation. He paid our sin debt. Believe the mother of Jesus, Mary, conceived Him without knowing a man. He was not conceived in sin. He was conceived perfectly through an act of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life of austerity, among His people until the time was right. We don't have a whole lot about the life of Jesus from the time they left, you know, and went to Galilee and then later on. We know He went to the temple one day, don't we? We know they went to Passover and that He stayed behind. His parents went on thinking that He was part of the caravan, but no, He'd stayed behind. What was He doing? He was schooling the priests about God, whom they were supposed to be doing the teaching. And they were learning from Him. So His parents went back and got Him and said, listen, son, you need to let us know when you're going to do these things. That just shows He was all about the Father's business. He was here to do what the Father had Him to do. He was faithful and committed to the task. Amen? He lived a sinless life. Believe all the miracles of Jesus that He did to prove that He was and is God. He didn't just do that for show. He did that to show everybody that He was God. He had the power of God. He could create. He could heal. He could do all those things that they needed to do because He was divine. He was God. Amen? And He proved it. So believe all those miracles. They're true. Yes, dear ones, believe God's written holy word and believe Jesus Christ, God's living holy word. This is the written word. Jesus was the living word. And He lives today. He lives today. Oh, see, we tend to lose that and forget about it in the talking and the busyness of life. Jesus lives today. Even though they tried to kill Him, even though they hung Him on the cross, stabbed Him with a spear, wrote Him off as dead, no. He fulfilled His purpose. That's why He came, to give His life. To be the payment for your sin and my sin and the sins of whoever will believe in Him. He is God and He can take care of all of that with no problem. Don't miss out on God's greatest act of love. Don't miss out on God's greatest act of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They should not perish. What are you talking about, Pastor Dan? People dying every day. People dying every day. They're perishing. Their bodies are going into the grave or they're being consumed by fire. They're dying every day. That's not the kind of death He's talking about. You are a spirit being. You have a spirit living within this flesh. This flesh is just temporary. It's just to get you through this world. It's going to come to an end. This flesh is going to die. But your soul and spirit are going to live right on. Going to live right on. And they're going to live, that soul and spirit is going to live in one of two places.
Right.
When you pass out of this body, there's only two places your soul and spirit can go.
Right.
One of them is to be without Jesus. You didn't make the selection that you would choose Jesus and trust Him as your Savior. You skipped that. I'll get by on my own, I'm okay. But then reality sets in. You die. And you go to a place without Jesus, without God. And it's horrible. It's horrible. It's so horrible that Jesus spoke more about that horrible place called hell than He did about heaven. Yeah. He wants us to know it's not where you want to go. Trust me. Trust Jesus. He wants you to be in the place with Him. Oh, we call that heaven. But it doesn't matter where it is. As long as He's there, it's going to be heaven, isn't it? One of two places. Your choice. He doesn't make you choose Him. He gives you a choice. That's liberty in Christ. Amen? He did the work. He's done the job. He's paid the price. All you have to do is say yes. I trust you, Jesus. You saved me by giving yourself. And I trust you for that. That's what John 3:16 is all about. Amen?
Amen?
Trusting Jesus so you can be with Him for eternity and not in some awful place without Him. Listen, listen. Set your heart, your mind, your soul and spirit, set them up to receive the greatest gift ever given. Forgiveness of all your sins. You can have that through the Lord Jesus Christ. The saving love of Jesus Christ will take all of that away. Romans 5, verses 7 and 8 tells us this, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." Oh, even for a very good person, a devout person, a church-going person, most people won't want to die for that person, even though they seem to be very good. You don't want to die for them. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, He gave His life for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You may have heard that many, many times. It never gets old to me. It never gets old to me. He is the power of life in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 through 8. The Holy Spirit wrote to us through the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received." Paul is telling the Corinthians, "This is the gospel I received. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures," God's holy word. Believe it. He died for us according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried. They put Him in the tomb. And that He rose again the third day. In on Friday, there on Saturday, up on Sunday, 3 days, He rose again. He is risen. Praise God. That's what we're celebrating today. Listen, if He hasn't risen, none of us are going to rise either. Our redemption and rising back to life with Him depends on Jesus. And He proved that He is God and He took care of it. We don't have to doubt it. We have the evidence. He is risen. Over 500 people saw or spoke to Jesus after His resurrection. He spent 40 days. He came back to life. He spent 40 days on earth talking to people, eating with people, interacting with people. No doubt He died. A Roman death squad made sure of that. No doubt He lives. Over 500 people gave their testimony that that's true. Believe, yes, and trust God's Word, the Bible. Believe and trust the work of Jesus Christ. Believe and trust over 500 human witnesses. Believe and trust God the Father and the Holy Spirit who agree that He did rise from the grave and He is alive. Believe and trust the facts of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the crucifixion of Christ that saves us. Without that, we're all still lost. His crucifixion saves us. And it's His resurrection that proves its sufficiency. It saved us. What He did on the cross saved us. Romans 8, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, God who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Oh, I'm going to tell you, beloved, it's not the same old body. It's not the same old body that's going to keep growing older and older and breaking down and being achy and full of pain and all that stuff. No, it's not that body. Either you're going to pass out of this life and go be with the Lord, or He's going to come back and rapture you out. Amen. And when that rapture happens, everybody that trusts Jesus is going to get a brand new heavenly body that's perfect forever. No age limit on it. No age limit. No aches and pains to look forward to. You guys in the back, you look at all of us. One of these days you might look like we look. Old! Right? Because it happens to everybody. Everybody in this body gets old. It has a lifespan. But the new body will get from Christ when He returns. No lifespan.
Hallelujah.
The warranty's good forever. Right? Praise God. Praise God. The fact is, according to God's Word, that everyone is condemned and lost until they call on Jesus. Calling on Jesus, trusting Him, is the only thing that saves you from going to that other place. So that means one doesn't have to be the world's worst sinner to be lost to the enemy. You see, it's really not even about what you do. You're doing all those things because you're a sinner. It's really about who you are. You are a child of the original Adam who is under the curse. And so that's why you're a sinner. That's what you have to have a remedy for. So, you have to call on Jesus. You don't have to be a great sinner. You don't have to even be a little sinner. Have a little sin. Don't even worry about that. To be lost to the enemy. All you have to do is pass out of this life without calling on Jesus. Oh, you might have lived a great life. You might have been kind to everybody. You might have did everything you could to be a good person. But you never called on the name of Jesus. You're not going to be with Him. You're not going to be with Him. Only by calling on the name of Jesus will you go to be where He is. Here's what the Scripture says. Here's what the Bible says. Call on the name of Jesus and you shall be saved.
Boom. Hallelujah.
You see any other names mentioned there?
No.
No. There's no other names. There's no other person. There's nothing else you can do but trust Jesus and what He did on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. You have to trust in Him. And when you do, you'll be ready. You'll be ready when Jesus comes back. You'll be ready to leave this life. You'll be ready to meet Jesus in the air when He comes back. Or if you leave sooner, you'll meet Him there. You'll be ready. Yes, believe as God's Word says, because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. For those who have called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you didn't call on the name of the Lord, you won't even know what's happening. All of a sudden, there'll be a lot of people missing. You won't understand that. I encourage you, as much as I can, and I know many of you have heard these things time and time again, but I encourage you, to call on the name of the Lord. Call on Jesus to save you from the penalty of sin. He's the only one that can do it. Maybe you've never called on Jesus. Maybe you've lived your life, you've never really thought about it, you're just cruising along, things are going okay, and you're not thinking about Jesus. But I'm telling you, you need to call on Jesus. And now you've heard the message and you know you need to do it. Are you going to do it or are you going to put it off? Because if you put it off and you don't call on Him and then something happens and you go out of here, you don't get a second chance. You don't get another try. There isn't another go around. It's here and now. Choose now. Choose Him now so you can be ready no matter what happens. Maybe you chose a long time ago. Maybe you chose Jesus a long time ago and called on His name. Maybe so long ago that you're not sure anymore. I'm not sure. Did I do that? I kind of remember doing something like that, but I'm not sure. Hey, He doesn't mind if you come back and nail it down. Make sure of it. Nobody minds, and you'll feel more secure. Nail it down. Make sure, right? Maybe you have trusted Jesus for your salvation, but you're not living the life. You're not being obedient to His Word. If you're not reading it and studying it, you can't be obedient to it because you don't know it. That's why we have Bible study here almost every night of the week. Nonetheless, if you believe you're a Christian, but you're not living for Jesus, maybe you want to ask Him to help you to do that. That is a work of the Holy Spirit, if you didn't know that. He is the power of God in you. And you can call on Him. Forsake that out there, what we call the world. Forsake the world. Oh, I know you have to have a job, you got to work, you got to earn a living. Yeah, do that. But while you're doing it, live by the Scriptures. Is that understandable? Did I cover just about everybody? Now it's your choice. He's done all He could do. Gave His body and blood. I've done all I can do. Gave you the message. Gave you His gospel. Now it's up to you. You choose. Trust Him for whatever your need is, or take your chance. It's up to you. You can come up here and sit down and pray. Elders will come and pray with you. You can kneel up here if you're able to do that. You can kneel. I encourage you to come and take care of your business that you need to do with Jesus. Come and take care of it now. Ryan, could you come, please? Don't put it off. Today we're celebrating the fact that we know Jesus is God, the Savior of all the people in the world who call on His name. He paid the price for everybody, but they all won't call. You be one that calls. You be one that calls. Amen? All right. This is called the altar call. This is where you can come up and say, I want to trust Jesus. I want to call on the name of Jesus. And we'll be so happy to pray with you and thank you that you did. Or you can repent. You can go ahead and start, Ryan. Or you can repent and get right with Jesus. This song is about what Jesus did. Stand and sing with us. If you want to make a decision, come up. Come up and make that decision. Amen. We'll welcome you.